Welcome to Leaders in Conversation, a series of podcasts in which leaders share their inspirational personal leadership stories with me, Annie Townend. In this episode, I am delighted to be in conversation with Elif Kuzey, an entrepreneur and a passionate fashion designer on a mission to help others find their confidence and sense of belief that anything is possible. Welcome, Elif.
Hi, Annie. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You are all about helping people, especially women, find their voice and be the best they can be. I'd love to start with, how did you find your voice?
First of all, I'd like to start where I come from, because your listeners will hear a little bit of an accent in my voice. I am originally from Turkey and I've lived here in the UK for the last 14 years. And my intention was to be here just for a year, learn English and go back to my hometown and get a good job, because I knew speaking in English would get me a better job in more managerial role, because I had that leadership feeling and skills inside me from childhood. But the opportunities comes when you start on a journey, and then I took them. I didn't come with a grand plan, but I kept bumping into new opportunities. I grew up in a strict Muslim family. I come from a family and generation that we always made our clothes. And I used to help my mom make clothes for her customers, herself and me, especially the clothes that I wasn't allowed to wear. My dad was quite a character, I should say. He's not with us anymore, sadly. He's passed away. But I couldn't wear what I wanted. I was strict. I couldn't even have my shoulders out, even though now I'm wearing whatever I like. I remember as a little girl making clothes for my dolls that I wasn't allowed to wear. All these elaborate designs of big trains, big shoulders and big cleavage styles. But I never thought that I would actually become a fashion designer and be able to help women dress up. The reason I always say I believe in power of choice when it comes to fashion, because I didn't have a choice. I didn't have a choice myself, and I knew how much it impacted my feelings as a woman, how I lost my confidence in myself because I wasn't wearing quite what I wanted. I had the choice, but it was all controlled by others. And it had, yes, it was in my colors, but it was not ever how I really wanted it. I didn't know that was in me, but this, you know, it goes into your subconscious mind, and then you just slowly grow something there. And I found myself in the UK. I came here as an au pair in 2007. I couldn't speak a word of English when I arrived here. If you can imagine, I was so nervous. I decided to just get out there and find my voice, because I could feel that I wasn't heard. And I come from a circle of people that women is not even second, third comes, you know. I felt like this can't be this way, shouldn't be that way. So I decided to live my own life. And my plan was to just come here, learn English. I was going to go to Spain and learn Spanish because I had a thing for languages. And then I was going to go back and get a really good job and live happily ever after. So when I arrived here as an au pair to the village I am in Brighton, Rottingdean, there was an alteration shop because I knew how to do sewing and I didn't have any money. When I arrived here, all I had was £265 in my pocket, and that was my last salary that paid. I exchanged that to pound, and that's all I had, in a small suitcase of clothes. And they were all wrong clothes because I came here in June from Turkey. That's how naive I was. I didn't even know I should have checked the weather, and it was freezing here. I mean, I'm a Mediterranean girl. I remember taking the little boy I used to look after to school and just literally shivering. And I had bought my first coat on sale for £10 or something. But I was so cold, and I just remember that was the best purchase I did in my life. So I started my alteration business after working with this lady, and I helped a number of women with their clothes. They would buy things when it was never right. When you buy things off the peg, it always needs a bit of tweaking, a bit of styling. So fashion isn't you, style is you. So fashion is something that comes and goes, but how you put them together, it becomes your style. I am very supporter of styled women. So I just noticed a lot of women needed some help with their confidence. And everyone I serve women in executive levels, teachers, doctors, and they all seem to have an issue. But if they're dressed in the right outfit that reflects their personality, I found like they walked out taller because the confidence that gives you that extra strength almost. So that, think about it this way. When you watch those superwomen, like Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman, what they do, they go into this little room and change into a power outfit. So everything we wear is actually reflects us, and it gives us the confidence that we need for that occasion. So whatever that is, if you're going for a work meeting, you dress in the outfit that you feel confident to have that board meeting. Or if you're going to a wedding, you again dress in that outfit to give you that confidence in that environment. So I just invite everyone to never underestimate fashion and their clothing, because it can make a huge difference. And I remember having a little talk with a group of ladies, and they said to me, "You must never judge a book by its cover." And I thought, well, you do. When was the last time you actually bought a book after reading the whole thing? Nobody. You buy the book, look at the cover, and then read it. You don't read it and buy it. So you do judge the book by its cover. So it's so important, especially if you're first time meeting. Like, think about this. You're going for a first date. What do? You even go out for a shopping for that outfit. If it's a wedding for your special friend, or even a friend that you really want to show off, what do? You go and dress up, because it is so powerful. So I know how much that confidence that gives you wherever you are. And sometimes you fake it with your outfit, and then suddenly it kind of gets to you, and then you go, actually, I am confident.
I love that, Aileen. How do you help women find their style so they maybe come to you for an outfit and they might pick this, they might pick that, and you know that isn't quite right for them, won't really help them to feel confident? How do you help them to find out what their style is?
What happens is usually most women I saw was 40 plus, and they usually have had disasters in their life with their outfits, and they kind of finally found out their looks, but they can't seem to put in style. So what I usually do, I ask them, what do you like about your body? What is the most parts of your body that you love seeing? And there's always one part of our body that we love. We're so harsh to ourselves when it comes to looking in the mirror and, oh, I hate my arms, or I hate this. But we have got other parts that we love ourselves. So I always start with a point of love. And I just say, okay, what is the one outfit that you feel confident every time when you wear it? Even if it's your jumpsuit, even if it's your a summer dress. Show me what is that one thing that you love. And they would show me that. And then I would also ask them, what is these, like, certain looks of certain people? Just get cut out of their photos or screenshots of those certain things that you might like. I'm sure you have, like, certain people that you like their style, the way the colors that they choose to wear. And then suddenly this some mood board comes out in front of us. And then from that, I would see that the reason she likes, for instance, that dress, because that neckline flatters her. And that flattering feeling, because it's all about feeling, she feels more confident and that makes her feel good. When you feel good about yourself, no matter what's happening in your life that day, it's you kind of move forward with that feeling. So I remember I made a wedding dress for this woman. She was in her late 50s and she wasn't sure, but she wanted to wear a white dress. All that she knew that, but she didn't want to wear a big poofy white dress. And I said to her, do you ever wear a dress? She said, no, I never wear a dress. There's only one dress, but we can't do that. I said, no, don't worry about it. Just bring the dress in. Let's have a look at it. And yes, it was a jersey dress and she had been wearing it for over 10 years and it was all discolored. But every time when she wore that dress, she loved herself. And we made a wedding dress that looked like that neckline, that fit in lace and silk satin. And she loved herself.
That is lovely, Ellie.
But she never had thought the jersey dress would give her the inspiration to be her wedding dress. So when we need inspiration, we seem to look outside, but we are our biggest source of inspiration. And we forget to look at ourselves. For everything we do, we have, actually we are our own inspiration.
You encourage women to look inside of themselves and to look for their inspiration and help them to do that. Where do you get your inspiration from?
I get inspired by everyone. You inspire me, for instance. You are such an inspirational woman, such an intelligent woman. I love following you and your words of wisdom. It always inspires me. I was inspired by my teacher. I was inspired as a growing up girl by my mom's doctor, my mom, my aunt, my mentors. But when I now look at it, I inspire myself more because I'm my biggest competition. I never compete with anybody but myself. Because if I make mistakes, everybody does make mistakes. I used to beat myself for making mistakes. And then when I noticed that the mistakes was there for me to learn lessons, and I started looking at myself within myself and followed my intuition and said, why did I make that mistake? Was it really me made that mistake, or was it the expectations of other people in my life? Because I know me more than anybody knows me. So I had to trust my intuition when I made decisions for my business, because if I didn't, they were the ones that I made mistakes. They were the moments that I wasn't being authentic. And so these are the moments that I noticed the authenticity was very important for me personally and in my business. It was also my voice that I didn't know I had, because I didn't have confidence myself. So I remember organizing events for women, like mainly fashion related, because that was one thing I knew so much about. I remember organizing events and inviting fashion designers and stylists as speakers, because I didn't have the confidence to stand there and speak the knowledge I had in me, because I always was first worried that my English level wasn't good enough and I would be ridiculed on the stage by making mistakes. And it was my early days. I wasn't that confident in the culture, because speaking the language is one thing, but speaking in the language of the culture is another thing. So I got to that point. Now I feel confident to be able to do these speakings and to be able to help others to find their voice. Not because I am any better in English. It's not because I know that when you are talking and giving the gift that you were giving to others to help them, they're not interested in your mistakes and they're not interested in your faults. They're not interested in your grammar choices. They're just listening. What's the message you're about to give? That's when I thought, okay, it's not about me anymore. It's about what I can give them, what's within me. And that's when I built the strongest confidence. I still am building it. Still working. It's like, yeah, a muscle.
I think that's a really good way of thinking of it. It is a muscle we need to flex, mm-hmm, and we need to exercise that muscle. You've talked about helping women find their confidence through finding their style. I think often people struggle finding their mission, and you have a very powerful mission. How did you find your mission?
It's my own personal experience, because this was the problem that I faced. I couldn't have a clarity on what I was doing. Yes, I was doing and helping. I'm such a helper. I like helping, making a difference in people's life. But I was always putting myself on the second line. It was first them and then me. And I realized I was running out of energy. I didn't have any plans. I was just reactive rather than planned and having a strategy in place. And the moment I started doing that, I thought that also gives you confidence. Knowing what to do next is so powerful. It's knowing what I need to do. Then you plan, and then your mission also helps you. So if you have a mission, what happens is you learn to say no, because it doesn't match with your mission. If you don't have a mission, you just say yes to everything, which I did. I said yes to everything. I said, okay, I can do that. Yes, you can do. We can do anything we want. We're women. We can do anything. When a woman put their head together and when they decide to do something, they do it. There's nothing can stop that woman do that. But if you have your mission, your plan in place, there will be always opportunities keep coming. But if it doesn't align with what you are doing, if it's not cohesive enough with your message, if it's not, then you just learn to say no. Thank you, but no, this doesn't suit me. It's not quite what I am. Or you don't even have to explain after a while, because your mission is more important. So I found my mission that way, and I am helping women to find their mission and have a strategy in place for their wealthy lifestyle. I don't mean money. I mean the time wealth, the happiness wealth, the confidence wealth, the knowing that they will even have their children's birthday dates in their diary and their holidays will be in their place with this strategy. They won't miss out on anything and feel like they're not a great, good enough mom, good enough wife, good enough girlfriend, or whatever that they feel and beat themselves for they're not good enough with having a mission. So helping someone to find that mission, it helps me because I love seeing people succeed, and it also helps them. And then we all win.
That's so lovely. Recently, you invited me to be a guest on an online event, Confidence Leads to Success, where I shared something about my mission, about creating safety in organizations where leaders lead with care and compassion. And you invited a lot of other guests. What were some of the challenges that you heard women talking about when they described their mission, when they talked about finding their confidence?
A lot of the women seem to have issue. They always seem to listen to others more than they should listen themselves. The moment you realize your worth, your thoughts, your intentions when you do things, and when you stop explaining others and asking outside acknowledgement, you become success. Because seeking for acknowledgement and approval from others is exhausting. And a lot of the women I spoke to and a lot of the women I listen to still to this date on podcast, on Clubhouse, on Instagram, whatever that is. It's the one thing slows us down is seeking other people's acknowledgement. It really slows us down and being accepted, especially people around us. I'm sure everybody who is listening must have experienced on their journey that your closest people don't get you. They don't see your vision. And then there you are trying to explain it to them. Don't worry about it. Just get on with your mission. Because if you really believe that your mission is going to make a difference in your life, because they're in your life, it's going to make difference on their life and other people's. It's that knowing that you are good. People love you, and there'll be people who don't like you, and they're not your people. So you don't need to be liked by everybody. And what I've noticed, a lot of these successful people, the one thing in common that they finally realize their worth. They finally realize, I am good enough. I am perfectly fine to be who I am with all my imperfections, because my imperfections is helping other people to perfect me. So it's like I get help. I've got a coach that helps me with my imperfections.
That's so lovely. And what's great is you're turning the Confidence Leads to Success online series into an ebook. So that will be available for even more women and men to read about. When will that become available?
So we are working on it very thoroughly, and we are reaching out to all our speakers that we've interviewed so far. I'm so blessed to have had you and incredible names that they're like high caliber women who have shared their true stories. The stories are so powerful. These conversations are so powerful. I'm so great that you are doing this, because it can just give light bulb moment to everybody. And with our conversations we had for my interview series, I had such an incredible feedback. I thought I've got to put it in a written format, because some people actually like to read. And so we're hoping to get it all ready before Christmas, and we will have it as a free ebook. Anybody will be able to go and read these incredible stories and words of wisdoms from women who've actually walked the walk and talked the talk.
I love that, Elif. It was a real honour to be a guest. And the whole series, I know, will be very, very encouraging of women in their confidence, in growing their self-belief. Mm-hmm. And you're all about encouraging people, growing people, but you're also about growing business. And having done that yourself, having come to the UK, not expecting to be here for as long as you have been, having come with just over £200 in your pocket, made that brave choice to leave Turkey and to come here to learn the language, but also to find yourself and ultimately to grow a very successful business. It would be lovely to hear more about growing your business.
So I started my business, as I mentioned at the beginning, as an alteration shop, and it was very little shop, and I actually own it right now. I'm all about organic growth when it comes to the business, because I grew my business organically. And it's not about numbers for me, it's about how much quality of life that you can have with your business. Because when you're an entrepreneur, when you're a self-employed woman, especially woman, you end up spending more time working than living. For me, it was even harder. It was quite challenging, to be honest, because not only I had to make financial freedom and earn money, but I had to learn to be part of the community in this country, because I didn't have anyone. I didn't have family. I didn't have any friends. The oldest friend I had was the one who was also an au pair when I arrived, and she had already left the country. So I didn't even have people I knew. So the one thing I had to do that I knew, yes, I knew this because I have a degree in business from Turkey. You have to know people. And the only way I could do this was I organized events. So networking, I started networking with people and started being member of networking groups, a lot of networking groups. I'm sure everyone, wherever you are now, because of the pandemic, we are very globally connected to one another. But if you want to start in business, especially in product business, I would say start with close community, because it gives you so much strength and so much power to know there are physical people behind you who believe in you, who know you. So I started networking excessively. I wasn't just networking to network. I was networking with people who would actually help my business grow. So it was intentional. I used to organize events and I used to have speakers at my events. And those speakers usually have my target audience. I also have my speaker's target audience. So it's a win-win and the audience wins. So three parts wins from these collaborations. So, and I continued doing that for the last 10 years. And when the pandemic hit, that's when I decided to do it all virtually. So nothing stops me. So I decided to do it virtually, which meant that I connected with women across the globe. I now have made great friendships with women in Australia. I would have never imagined to be in the same room with those people, not because we are unreachable. It's because physically it was just impossible. So if you want to build a business, build a network, make connections, because those connections, and tell them what you do and what you want. So that's how I build my business. I always ask for help if I needed help. I never was shy about it. I would say I don't know. That's quite vulnerable thing to say for women, to say I don't know. I just didn't know. So there is no point pretending, because you can only pretend for a little bit. What else I would suggest for business growth? So you can attract the right clients by organizing events, either physical or virtual. And then you can keep them engaged with you. I always recommend my clients to not invest so much time in social media platforms. As much as they're great, they don't necessarily mean you can target your audience straight away. But if you collect their emails, you can email them. If you've got their phone number, you can give them a ring or text them. They're most likely to read your text than they read your Instagram post. They might not even see it. So they're investing your time in the right channel. It's very important. And then once you're engaged with those clients that you target, then you can turn them into potentials and perhaps paying clients that make you money.
That brings us very much to the close of our conversation, Elif, around empowering, inspiring and connecting to help each other and to connect with each other in that intentional way and to find the right way for your business and the most engaging way, which you do wonderfully. Thank you. Thank you so much for being in conversation. I've loved hearing more about you. For people who want to find out more about you, Elif, the best way I'm imagining is, given what you've just said, to email you. Is that right? Can you give people your email address?
Yes, it will be info@elifkose.co.uk, but without the dots, so it will be elifkose.co.uk. And I will get your email and I'm here to serve.
Knowing what you've just said, you'll probably give them a phone call and or a text message as well if they would like some help.
Absolutely.
From you. Wonderful. Thank you, Elif. And we mentioned the ebook that's coming out just before Christmas. Is the best way to find out about that through signing up for your newsletter via the website?
Via the website. We'll be sharing it with all our platforms. We'll share it with our speakers and who are going to be part of the book. They will all have access to share it with their contacts to read these incredible stories. Will open so much opportunities for people. to notice that leader within them.
Absolutely, and the leader within each of us. Thank you. Thanks for today. Thank you for sharing your story. And for listeners who would like to hear more Leaders in Conversation, please do go to my website, annietownend.com. If you would like to be a leader in conversation, please get in touch with me via my email, annie@annietownend.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening.